What did God tell us to wish for? Right? He tells us. Tells us in the Our Father, doesn't he? He didn't say, Our Father, world peace. Right? What he says is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God wants. God wants heaven on earth. Now, maybe you wish for that. If you did, terrific. If not, it's okay. Because what I'm going to talk about is how to orient your time and orient your life so that your time meets God's will and what he wants to have happen on this earth. That's what this talk is about. And so we're going to talk a little bit about time in relation to eternity. Now, in order to do this, I know we've got a lot of new people who haven't been to this. We've been doing this series. This year, our topic is the pursuit of heaven. And William gave a wonderful talk a few months ago, I think back in August, on the stages of growth, spiritual growth, that you need to go through. Last time, Eric spoke on heaven and purgatory, a little bit of her father talked about, and how heaven's worth it, and we should strive for heaven. And in case you don't, you weren't here, or you wanted a copy, you have one in the handout, okay? All these slides are there. So, you know, it starts in the early hardened sin, and you move up. And the whole concept is that you're moving away from selfishness towards holiness, complete sanctity. That's the whole concept of, that's discussed from the Soul of the Apostle, a book we did in our encounter with Christ, with Brother Chris. But it doesn't matter where you're at. Christ will meet you where you're at. If you're over here, you're here, you're here, you're back here. It doesn't matter. Christ will meet you where you're at. The key is the pursuit of heaven is the pursuit of holiness. Now, I know a lot of you guys out there got friends out here and say, Mitch, you're not holy. No, but I'm working on it. My son's here. He knows. Right? But it doesn't mean we can't work on it. Right? We continue to work towards holiness, towards sanctity. Right? You know, Father said, hey, you know, we've been given the ticket. Right? But all we mean we get the ticket is that we start off when we're babies. I like to use a football analogy because I'm a football fan. And right, one end zone's hell and the other end zone's heaven. So when we're babies, we start off in the right end zone. And as we live, we start moving down away, whether because we have original sin. And the sad part about it is so many people focus on the wrong things. The pursuit of heaven is the pursuit of holiness. And when you pursue holiness, the way we become Christ is through charity and love. That's it. At the core of everything, it's love and it's charity. And humility comes out of that as a fruit. That's what it's all about. So let's go through some facts before we get into a lot of the time spending. Number one, I think everybody would agree, God loves us, right? And he's awesome. He is awesome. God loves us. And as Father said, we got the ticket. And this is a path that we get to spend eternity with him. That's what he wants.
He wants us, you, to be with him forever. That's what he wants. He doesn't want a whole lot more. He created you for that, so he could love you for eternity. And one of the things that Aaron spoke last time, and I think it bears some, eternity is a long time. Think about it. In relation to this life. And I know we've got a few people in there, 70s, right? So I've lived a long life. In relation to eternity, you lived a speck. Doesn't matter how long you are, this life is short compared to eternity. I think that's extremely important to reflect on. And I'll tell you, I was assigned this topic about 3 months ago. And it's a total blessing to be assigned to give this topic. But it's also a credible realization that every single time I wasted time, I knew it. You know, to reflect on this for months and months on end, it's a powerful thing, I can only tell you. This life is a dress rehearsal. It is, as Father said, it's our way to go through the speedboat, right? It's how we get, it is how we show God, okay, that we mean business, right? That we're serious. We want to meet with him in the next life. People in this life, this is so true, take going to heaven, getting to heaven, or purgatory for granted. Have you ever been to a funeral where they didn't say he's in a better place? Did you ever hear one of them, hey, pray for my father because he's probably in purgatory? Did you ever go to one of those funerals? I have never been one. You know, they take you for granted. I gar most of you think you're in purgatory, right? How do you know? Does anybody know when you're going to die? No. So when you go in front of the judgment, when you die, you know, the one thing I pray is that I just went through a Jubilee year and I'm in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I just did. And I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament and I died. That's about the only way I know that I'll make it. For sure. I didn't have time to screw up. We don't know. We don't know. And you know what? Scriptures say Jesus can show up anytime. He walked through that door right now. Are you ready now? Maybe you just went to confession. Great. But are you really ready? Are you ready for him to come right now? If not, what do you got to do? And what are you waiting for? I really believe that there's two curses in this world. One's the Protestant, right? What a Protestant always said. Once saved, always saved. That's all I got to do is say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and bam, I'm in heaven. Boy, that would be awesome. It just goes against everything the Bible says, but... And then there's the Catholic curse. The Catholic curse is, at least I can get into purgatory. I don't need to try that hard to get into heaven. Because I get into purgatory, at least I know where I'm going at some point in time. Wow. Do you really want to shoot for something lame? Right? Do you really want to go for the bottom? Right? That's like shooting for the 1 yard line and hell's behind me, and I hope I get to the 1 yard line. I promise you, if you shoot for the bottom, you'll end up in the wrong spot. Because it's easy to fail. But if you shoot for holiness, you shoot for perfection in your life, then it's easier to fall a little short. Of course, we already know there's layers of purgatory. We know the most painful part is right before, because Father Mike said so, right before you get to the end. right? But shoot for habit. There's no reason to shoot short.
Said it again. Life is a dress rehearsal for the next life. Guys, the greatest gift that God gives us is time.
He gives us time. We don't know how much time he's going to give us, but it's a gift. You don't get to live on your own. You don't get to breathe on your own. Every moment you breathe, every second you breathe is a total gift. Every person that you encounter is a gift.
Reflect on that a little bit. It's a very powerful thought. How we use that time is our gift to God. If we use our time for him, what a gift. He gave it to us. Now, this is the slide that should have been there where the thing is, but that's what it is. So how do we become holy? How do we get to heaven? How do we do it?
It's real simple, guys. You just got to use your time wisely to serve God and do his will. Now, if you're here, you're probably interested in doing his will. And it's easy to say that. I want to do his will.
I hear that people say, I just want to do his will. Discerning his will and living it is a whole nother ballgame, right? And the key is to live life as a prayer. People say, I invited Jesus into my life.
Well, that's the most selfish thing I ever heard. Is it though your life is his isn't his in the first place? It was nice of you to invite him into his life.
You know? It's like, you know what? He owns your life. You know? The daily decisions and choices show God our love for him. Do we act on God's to-do list or we start the day and we go, hey, look at all the things I got to get done today. And where's God's stuff in it? When we encounter people at work or anywhere else, is God a part of that discussion? Do you live? And do people around you know that? You know? It's very hard to have a discussion with me even at a party that God doesn't come up. That's true. Anybody knows me knows that's the case. Because I try to make him the sound. So we praise God in every action that we do, every word we say, and every thought we give. The way we speak, the way we act, the way we think. Every moment of every second. That's what God wants. He wants us to love him with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole soul. And he's awesome. And he deserves it. And he wants us to trust. He wants us to trust that, you know what? If I do his will, he just is going to take care of me. And you know what? Even if it doesn't go my way, it's not the way I wanted it. Maybe financially things didn't go my way. Or this didn't go my way. It's okay. He wanted it that way, so it's good. See, if you praise him in the bad times, it's easy to glorify him in the good times. That's what a Christ-centered life is about. See, the devil wants you to believe you're the king of the universe.
you're the king of the universe. He wants you to think you're the king of the universe and you to think you're the king of your universe. You're the center of everything, right? He wants you to believe that. That's what the doubt. Because you know what? If you believe that you're the center of your universe and he believes he's the center of his universe and he believes he's the center of his universe, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be dissension. There's going to be fighting. In a Christian world, Christ is the center of the universe. Everything I did, everything I said, serves him. And the key is to orient everything we do that way. Now, that sounds so easy. It should not. That's why I'm a big fan of spiritual direction. But in judgment, we're going to be accountable, held accountable for the way we spend our time. Our actions are the choices we make for where we spend eternity. Your actions will Jesus, and he goes through the judgment, right? And you sit that top. He's going to go, what did you do here? What were you doing? Right? That's what he's going to be asking. Hey, I sent this person over there, and you didn't say anything. You don't think that's not going to happen? Read some books on people who died. That's exactly what happens. So what we say and when we don't say something, it matters. Joshua. You got that one in there a lot for emphasis per se. Anyway. Fear the Lord and serve him in serenity and faithfulness. Fear the Lord. People, I don't fear the Lord. You should. Bible says there's healthy fear. You should fear the Lord. You know? It's like, hey, you know what? It's like, dude, I can only imagine what an awe. Matthew. I love this scripture with Matthew. And Jesus talks about the kingdom of God probably more than anything else in the Bible. He wants to prepare you for eternity. And this is one of them. He said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will render account of every careless word they speak. By your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Think about that. Another one to Matthew. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant, whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master, on his arrival, finds him doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all of his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is long delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Those are Jesus' words. Wow. Faithful sir. So, what do we got to do? Well, I'm going to steal a little bit from Stephen Covey. You know, he had the seven habits of highly effective people, right? I'm going to steal three of the key habits there. And we call it the habits of highly effective Christians. This is real simple. Number one, begin with the end in mind. And what is the end? Heaven, right? So we begin life and we live life with the end in mind every day. Number two, put first things first. What's first in your life? Is Christ first? I hear people say, well, I couldn't make the evening reflection. You know, I had a long day at work. And okay, It better keep calm. You know, it matter be, you make decisions throughout your life on what you're going to do. We all answer for that, man. And maybe that was the right decision. Maybe it was. Maybe you needed to be at home. Sometimes that's it. But put first things first and talk to God. Let him help you decide. He will always lead you to the right path. Sharpen the saw. You know, I think it's important that we not be Catholic content consumers, but we be people who are working on improving ourselves so that we can better emulate Christ and we can be the best version of ourselves. And that does mean that there are a lot of things out there that are at your disposal. A lot of things at your disposal to improve yourself. When I first joined Radical Christianity, there's a guy who, and I was really kind of just getting fired up about my faith, and there was a guy who was in a counter, kind of like a Bible study that Reverend Christie has, a little bit different, but we meet once a week, and he was in my group, and he was an encyclopedia of Catholic knowledge. I mean, he liked to read encyclicals for fun. You know, and I was like, man, this dude is wasting his time with all of this stuff. That's what I was thinking in my head. I never said it to him. You know, that's what I was thinking. And now I look at it and go, he just was more fired than I was. He was sharpening his saw. His saw was knowing all about the faith. Because the more he knew about the faith, the more he could live his life with as a gift. I was naive. There's a lot of role models that we can follow, guys, out there for living your life and living your time well. Mother Teresa is a great example. Mother Teresa lived in a time where there was Netflix. I don't think she ever watched. I don't think she streamed Netflix. You know? I don't think that she had HBO Max. You know? And I promise you, a lot of us have one of these, and it's got a little half-bitten apple on it. If she had one of those, I doubt she looked at it all day. What's your screen time? You know? Mother Teresa cared about Christ and saw Christ in everybody. She never passed up an opportunity to serve Christ, ever. It's Carlos Acutis, just was ordained a saint. I put him up there because I think he's a great role model. You know, I know Luke looks up to him. He actually said some profound things for a young man. He said, just go to adoration and soak in the holiness. It was one of his quotes. He's a young man whose goal was to be holy. And then he actually restricted himself to only 1 hour of video games a week. No 7 hours, staying up all night, just an hour a week. That's all I'm going to do. I'm focused on Christ. For a young person, that's phenomenal, right? That's just awesome. I find him inspiring because it took me a lot. I was a lot older before I got it a lot earlier. And he converted his whole family. His holiness converted his family. He wasn't even Catholic. Wow. The way he lived convicted people. That's awesome. Padre Pio, one of my favorite saints. Padre Pio, extremely holy man, had the stigmata, you know, and as holy as he was, and as many books and movies written about him, movies. Wonderful, wonderful, all of them too. I watched a few of them. But
He actually acts as confessor. You think I'll make it to heaven? To which the priest said, if you don't, you're not going, none of us else are going, right? So his humility, the holier he got and the closer he got to God, the more he saw that he wasn't deserving.
What a wonderful role model. When we all think we're going to get there already. And here's a guy who was there, in my opinion, and didn't know if he was going to make it. What a great example. So in your, I like to read through some of these. In your handout, there's some things for reflection. And I suggest you take this to adoration or to with you in the church and just reflect on these things and ask yourself. This talk is not about me. It's about you and God. And what this talk is purpose is, and we're all going to pursue heaven, right? We're going to pursue holiness. We're going to pursue sainthood. How do we get there on a daily basis? First of all, have you taken advantage of the Jubilee year? If you care about heaven, this year, you won't get another one for another 25 years unless some special year comes up. You have an opportunity to go to a Jubilee church, say the Jubilee prayers, and pay reparations for all the sins you committed in your life and wipe the slate clean. If you haven't done that, you got 40 days. Take advantage of it. If you care about heaven, you'd be doing that right now. You'd be doing it far because you don't know if you got Saturday or Sunday calls. You know, do you spend 30 minutes of prayer in the morning alone with Christ? Just you and Christ. Luke's going to speak next month about prayer. Looking forward to it. Can always learn more. Do you pray with your family in the morning? Is prayer just solo to you? Or do you pray with others? Do you lead or participate in prayer at work? I mean, maybe you lead an office staff. What about gather them all together, saying a little prayer, ask for intentions, and pray for those intentions? Maybe somebody out there in your office, you are meant to impact. Maybe it's only one person shows up the first day, maybe 3 days, three people the next day. Or you know, you might have the whole office. Do you lead or participate? Or did you attend Mass daily? I know people say, I can't attend Mass. I got to be at work at 8 or whatever. I got Mass at St. George's 6:15 a.m. You know, there's Masses all over the place. You can find time. Skip lunch. There's noon Mass at Mercy. I get Tuesday and Wednesdays. I go to St. George. See Sam there often. Do you sing in Mass? It's my... Sting home with a few of you guys, you know. And I know there's some of you guys out there right now saying, I can't sing worth a darn. Well, guess what? Who gave you that voice? If he gave it to you, give it back to him. You don't think he likes it? He wouldn't have given it to you. Sing out loud. Be proud. I know this sounds crazy, but, you know, there's people out there. I watch them, and they do a lot of prayers here, and they only say, don't sing them. They don't say anything. They just stand there. And I'm like, why? Just praise God. Be an example to people around him. You listen to Catholic radio, podcasts, Hallow, Ascension. I mean, there's so many good things out there that you can do on the way to work or in the shower or when you're getting ready for work that can help you grow in love for Christ. There's so many good things. You know, there's Bible in a year, or in my case, 3 years. But I'm on day 305. Started like 3 years ago. But anyway, you know, I'm going to get there. sometime next year, I expect that I'll be done with the Bible year. And then I'll start, I'm on day 34 of catechism in a year, but that might take me another 3 years. I don't know. But there's rosary in a year. I mean, you know, there's so many things out there that you can just enrich your understanding and knowledge. What do you listen to when you get ready for work? When you drive to work?
Look, if you spend all your time listening to political talk radio, you think that's going to get you to heaven? I promise you, it's drawing you away. You know, I did more than my fair share of sports talk radio this week. I feel a little guilty about it because it's the whole Lane Kiffin thing. But anyway, you know, but, you know, there's a lot of time I could have spent better.
So that's one of those things I said I felt guilty about as I was going through with this reflection. We listen to when you get ready to drive to work, or you drop off your kids, you pray with your kids. You have young kids and you bring them to work. You pray with them right before you take a test, college. Do you pray with your friends?
Oh.
Do you have earbuds on when you're at work and listening to some sort of productive thing? You know, you can put on Gregorian chant if you want while you're doing a spreadsheet. You know, anything that lifts you up and keeps you focused on God is a good thing. Are you attentive to other people's needs at work or at home? You come home and say, I need me time. Guess what? You don't need any me time. That's putting you in the center of the universe, right? Not everybody else. You don't need any me time. One of the things I really reflected on the last 3 months was how much of this am I doing, saying, hey, I need this me time. You guys go away from me so I can relax and chill because I need some time. You need time. Sir, you have time to return. You pray before meals. Do you fast regularly? You know, I heard a saint recently say, you know, this is true, probably true. If you really have somebody you want to confirm or something you really want to pray for, and you've asked God and you haven't fasted, you haven't prayed for it. You haven't deprived yourself of sleep. You haven't prayed hard enough. It doesn't mean enough to you. I think it's like, cool, you're probably right. You give alms to the poor, visit food banks, serve the needy, go visit a prison, right? Manville and I are involved in prison ministry. It's very rewarding, I can tell you that. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. You volunteer at your parish. You're too busy to do something for your hair to help bring people to Christ. Do you listen to your wife attentively till they finish without interruption? And I will tell you that right now, you know, that's tough. I've been working on that for a long time. Because, you know, and my wife knows I've been working on it. Because she goes, you're working on this thing, you still aren't you, or whatever. And I go, yeah, you know, because I'll just go, you know, no interrupt. You listen to your kids. I lack patience sometimes. I'm working. You play with your kids, your grandkids. You take that time to really give them real time. But you sit on your phones and everybody's playing on their phone, but they're together. Then binge watch Netflix or Hulu when you could be taking time to sharpen your axe. I think it's important, guys. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have leisure time. Okay? I think God wants us to have leisure time. It just shouldn't be selfish time. It should be time, the leisure time, to serve him in some way. We can say a prayer while we're fishing. you know, laying by the pool, right? He wants us to enjoy him in all of creation. I think it's really important that I make that point. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to do this. I think you should need to evaluate through prayer, am I doing something? And am I doing it for him?
Do you visit Jesus in the adoration chapel? Do you take the opportunity to ask people if you can pray for them? Do you tell people about Jesus every day? Do you take time to do an exam? There's a bunch more in there, and I'm going long. But I think the important thing is that all of these things for reflection are just things about how we spend our time. If you get anything out of anything I said, just one thing, it's that he's awesome. And he deserves it all. He deserves all your time. He deserves all your love. He deserves you to love everyone else like you love him. That's what he wants us to do. And it's not easy. It really isn't. It's really hard. I can tell you story after story of, as I've reflected on this, of people who come in and I find them difficult to love. I gotta love them anyway. So I highly encourage, and I'm gonna get William to put together a thing. I'm getting Luke to send it out on just some reflections on different books you can read, different things that you can go through as you reflect on time in relation to eternity to help prepare you, prepare yourself to go through this exercise. It's a powerful exercise. And then one thing I can say before I end is that you can't do this alone, guys. You know, we're creatures that need other people. It's good to have support, family support, Bible studies, regular Christian encounters. By getting around other people who are like-minded, also trying to go to heaven too, you get inspired. So I highly encourage you to be a part of something like that so that you can get to be fed off of the other people. I go to have several Bible studies, things I do, but one of these, actually, I enjoy it. I go to the prison, and those guys inspire me. That's why I go back. It's because they're in prison, and they're fired up about Christ. And I go, man, they have freedom. The freedom that I don't, that I work, you know, they say I inspire them. They inspire me. And it's a true blessing. So I'd like to go ahead and just end with a closing prayer. I'd like everybody to join with me. Oh, my dear God, this is from St. John Newman, by the way. Oh, my God, you've created me for yourself and have destined me for a particular work in your church. Grant me the grace to discover this vocation and to fulfill it faithfully. Let me not be satisfied with the meter of my life, but help me to become a saint, the statue of life that you have called me. May I do the work that you have given me, and that no one else can do in my place. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven.